This episode is brought to you by Huggies Little Movers. Listen, Huggies knows that babies come in all shapes and sizes, and so do their tushies, especially when they start really moving. Huggies has more curves and outstanding active fit. So no matter what kind of mover you've got, they feel protected and comfy while their little tushy wiggles and jiggles all around. Huggies Little Movers has curves designed to fit all baby curves and helps provide up to 12-hour protection against leaks. So make the switch to Huggies Little Movers today. We got you, baby.
Check engine light on? Take the guesswork out of your check engine light with O'Reilly Veriscan. It's free and provides a report with solutions based on over 650 million vehicle scans verified by ASE certified master technicians. And if you need help, we can recommend a shop for you. Ask for O'Reilly Veriscan today.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
With your Amex card, entertainment benefits like special ticket access and pre-sales to select can't-miss events while supplies last, make every tap music to your ears.
This is the best of two pros and a cup of Joe with LeVar Arrington, Brady Quinn, and Jonas Knox on Fox Sports Radio.
Got to be honest with you.
Yep.
If it's not the T-Wolves,
yep,
it's just not as much fun watching some of these games.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, the good teams, like Boston's a good team, Oklahoma City's a good team, but there's something about those Wolves.
Yeah.
You know, you just want to howl.
Howl.
It's not as fun. I mean,
I
Jamal Murray getting fined $100,000 because he's throwing heat packs on the court. You know?
Did you guys agree with that?
I was just gonna say, was that too much or just about right?
I'm surprised that he wasn't suspended.
I was, too.
But I'm glad that he wasn't.
Do you guys remember the old school heat packs that you would, like, it would be down in, like, a thing of water?
Yes. Yep.
Where, like, you'd bring out with tongs and you'd put in, like, this little soft thing that would fold over top. And that'd be, like, the heat pack. You all remember that?
They don't still have those?
I don't think so. I think they've got like better things now.
Dang, I'm old.
Can you imagine them using tongs on the sidelines to pull out a heat pack now?
Vart, was that all you had the entirety of your career?
Yes.
Wow. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm pretty sure by the end of it they had like other heat stuff. Now they got like lasers. They'll be like shooting a laser into your leg.
I had lasers. I had the handheld ones. You remember the handheld ones?
You had probably like the Austin Powers ones, though. You know,
bro, I had everything you could imagine in my
house.
Lasers. I had a heat tub, cold tub, plunge tub. I had that
How
heat thing.
Did
you said
use those. You don't strike me as the type that loved the cold tub, though.
Oh, why? Because I'm black.
Damn.
No. We don't like cold.
No.
Is that what it is? What you mean? What you saying, Q?
From the time we were together, like, you
black dog.
Dang.
You hate being cold.
And for what it's worth, you're right. I don't.
You're a fool, man.
For what it's worth, I did not like cold. But I did it. I did it. I definitely did it for vitality. I tried to extend my career by doing the little things at home. But I don't do that ass now. I'll tell you that. I don't go in a cold tub now. Last time I was at Penn State when I was doing the show from there, I did use it. I did, but I contrasted. So I was in the hot. I can only get in cold if I go, like, if I run in from hot. That's the only way I can do it. I can't just do a cold tub. I can't just do a plunge.
Wouldn't that make it worse?
Yeah, it feels like pins and needles, but you're so hot, it's like it kind of feels good. So there you go.
Wow. It is a weird contrast.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it is.
Well, you listen, I mean, I don't know what sort of pain you were dealing with, but, you know, it does appear that there were some hurt feelings from that Tom Brady roast a couple days ago.
Really?
Yeah.
Who was hurt by it?
I mean, Giselle was hurt, not happy with the way her
family was
portrayed. Well, you know, just people making reference to, you know, her taking jujitsu, you know, all of a sudden.
I mean, and, she had to know that she was going to. I mean, you had to know. I would have thought they would have did more, you know?
You know what is brilliant about it, though? Because what was alleged, obviously, and what a lot of people had made light of is that maybe she had some infidelity issues.
Mm-hmm.
And what is quite possibly the greatest move, now that we find out that Netflix had paid Tom Brady, was it $30 million? Is that what you guys saw?
I didn't see what the number was.
I saw $30 million for that, like, singular one roast, one show.
That's which, sweet.
That's pretty sweet. Yeah, that's basically the salary he's getting paid almost from Fox for an entire year for broadcasting a game. But $30 million for one of those shows. Mm. But what makes it brilliant is he doesn't have to be the bad guy and say anything.
Right.
Everyone else gets to be, and it still ends up hurting her if that's, you know, some of the intent. And I'm sure he doesn't want to hurt her to a degree, but there's definitely some pain there. But he doesn't have to be the bad guy in that case. It gets to be everyone else.
Yeah, that's a good point. I mean, I also saw, you know, Bridget Moynihan, his previous ex, made a comment. Aaron Hernandez's ex made a comment. What
did she say?
You know, just it's a cruel world, something along those lines. I've got to raise my daughter. Which, look, there are kids involved. That's the sad part. But
I might be a little sadder when she figures out.
Yeah, I think when you see the true details of what, you know, happened with Daddy, I mean, it's roast, you know, real life roast. Like, it's kind of like, maybe she should have steered clear of that one.
This is what I look at. I go, this just shows that there's a lot of people that don't remember or have never seen a roast before. Cause it, like, and I was surprised that it was actually a real roast. I thought they were going to, you know, softball it and it'd be PG. And it took like a couple of the comics to get up there. And I thought, oh God, they're going, it's open season on everything. So it's not like it was just, well, they're the only ones who got everybody on stage, every comedian, every athlete, everybody there caught astray. Like, some of them caught direct fire, like right to their eyes, and you just had to wear it because it was a roast. So that people getting upset about this, like, this is what these things are. I don't know if anybody plans on doing it again. Did you see that Netflix removed some of the booze for Kim Kardashian, which is odd. They kept everything else in, but, you know, the booze were too much for Kim Kardashian.
Removed the what?
There was booze, like the crowd booing.
I heard, yeah.
I heard booze. Like,
no,
well, that too.
They didn't do that. I can assure you.
So they didn't remove her boobs.
No, they did not.
There were, though.
Better not have.
There were boobs.
Bastards. You can remove the boobs. You don't take the other stuff out. I just look at it. I go, I wonder if anybody is more likely to sign up for something like this after seeing that, or less likely knowing everybody in my past and family members are not safe if I go up there and put myself through that.
I mean, isn't that what a roast is all about?
I was about to say, it's like a test of your, you know, your gut. It's a test of your nerve. It's like a test. Can you still have fun? Do you believe you are as cool a dude as you think you are, cool a person as you think you are? Like, can you keep your calm? Like, you know, I don't know. We're just so sensitive anymore. It's discouraging in some cases. It's concerning in others as to how sensitive we are. Like, okay, you can relate some of this to real life experiences. I get that. You know, mothers coming out and saying they were uncomfortable with it, like, at their expense. I get that. I understand that. I really do. Because they didn't sign up for it. They didn't want to be a part of it. I get that. But outside of that, it's kind of like, you know, just let it go.
Riverside.
Mother effer. Riverside. Turn it around. Move it up. Move it down. Like, yeah, trainers. You know, trainers. Like, come on, man. Too sensitive. Like, but I get it. I do get it in some regards. But, I mean, let's be real. You are with a kung fu master now. And that's what you did. And Aaron Hernandez, he did it. Like, You know, it ain't no debating that one right there. You know, it ain't no if the glove doesn't fit, you must have quit. Wasn't, you know, you could say you knew or whatever, or this, that, and the other. He got found. Look, he was guilty. Like, deal with it. Like, you got to deal with it. I'm sure the people who had problems have to deal with hearing what they heard from that roast probably, what, close to a daily basis? I mean, if we're being real?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You should be calloused by it by now. You should be okay with it by now.
Right.
I mean, let's just be honest. It just is what it is. Come on. Let's move on.
Who do you think could repair their image doing a roast?
I don't know if this like repairs or helps or does anything for Tom Brady's image. I was actually going to ask this. There's been a lot of him lately. The roast and just other stuff going on. And you're building into the NFL season where you're going to see a lot of him then, too. If he's broadcasting every single week, you'll see him probably during the week, too. People are going to want to get his opinion or talk about him then. I guess my thought is it too much? Like, there comes a point in time where, you know, people love seeing this sort of thing, but it also gets to the point where they all of a sudden become pretty critical. Mm-hmm. It's like, it's cool, you're everyone's favorite, then it turns quick. I mean, look at Tony Romo. When his first season, everyone loved his analysis. And it started to turn after that first season. He started on the commercials. He was just out there everywhere because he was this big hit for CBS. And then it turned. And it's gotten to the point now where the past couple of seasons, or the past, you know, few seasons, people have been extremely critical, and you don't see him doing quite as many commercials. You still see the Skechers and the Corona and some of that every once in a while, but not as much as it used to be. And I just wonder sometimes, you know, is it too much where you're kind of building someone up to then break them back down again based on their, you know, their job and the job that he does as an analyst.
I just can't. I can't imagine during the season when he's doing these games that he's going to be out there as much as he was. Because to your point, like there's the Noble campaigns, there's the barber shop where he's, you know, getting a cut and he's talking about. It seems like he's got some sort of a investment into a soccer team. There's
that didn't work out too well, by the way.
No, there's F1. There's I can't imagine he gets back into crypto anytime soon, but who knows? Like, there has been a lot of things out there. I don't know if he's just trying to keep himself busy because he misses playing, but I wonder at some point, you know, calling games once a week for $37.5 million a year, that should be fine. I mean, you don't have to, I mean, that feels like your plate would be full at that point. And, you know, he's got kids, all the other things to go along with it. I don't know why anybody would want to sign themselves up for all of this at this point, which makes me think that, yeah, during the season, it'll quiet down a little bit, but maybe not.
Maybe. I just think you got to be strategic because he could come off as an arrogant cornball if he's not careful.
Damn.
Yep.
No, I'm just being honest. Like, he's just got to be, because right now he's kind of viewed as, you know, he's a heroic type of guy. He's like got this mystique about him. He's got that like kind of feel to him. And maybe that's what it's meant to be. Maybe it's meant to humanize him a little bit more and make him relatable to people. But I don't think that roast made him relatable. I think it gave people the opportunity to laugh at him, which, it kind of humanizes a person when it's like, oh, you can humiliate a guy like that. And then, you know, he's there taking it, which, by the way, I'm not certain all the way that him getting up and telling him, don't say that S again. Kind of like, all right, he's in control of this whole thing though.
So,
he's in control.
To that point, just to go back to the initial conversation where feelings were hurt. It was interesting. That was where the line was crossed, was with Robert Kraft, not Giselle, not Bridget Moynihan, right, or anything about Aaron Hernandez or even Kim Kardashian, which, why was Kim Kardashian there?
I have no idea.
That's the other thing. Like, what did she have to do with all this?
I don't know.
Well, because there were rumored at one point where maybe those two were talking or, you know, maybe she was there for a reason, you know, for Tom. Yeah. But I digress. Why was it Robert Kraft was where the line is drawn?
It's like some people have speculated that, oh, well, he was just leaning into it. They were playing, trying to do some sort of a mock-up of what happened with Will Smith and Chris Rock. It's like, if you look at Jeff Ross's reaction, that was not that. Like, he was not expecting that. He was trying to get to the next thing. Tom Brady was legitimately bothered by that one thing. And I don't know, man. Like, I don't know maybe if he knows more to that story
or whatnot.
Man. But I'm just saying, it is a little odd that of all the things you could make jokes about, and Tom Brady made jokes about Hernandez, there was all sorts of stuff that was made jokes about, and his owner going to the grab lab a couple of times before some playoff games is where that's enough. We can't have any more conversation about this.
What other names do you have for it besides the grab lab?
I don't remember. I had like a list. I don't remember where it went. There was some.
I mean,
others.
Can you give us like the list?
The grab lab.
Listen, I was instructed not to go there. I'll just put it that
Bobby
way.
Bobby Orchids.
Some people heard a couple of the names and were not happy the first time we did that. So I'll just we'll leave it at that. But you know, don't go there with Tom Brady. That's the moral of the story. All right, he's not going to stand for that. Everything else is fine, just not that one thing. But, you know, Drew Bledsoe, by the way, did say that Belichick and Robert Kraft had like a nice heart-to-heart conversation while they were there. And that's cool and all, but you can't tell me that when Belichick's up there having to do a shot with Robert Kraft that he's not thinking to himself, get me the hell away from this weirdo.
Bill Belichick looked like he had a body somewhere. He looked like he had just off somebody. He finished the job.
He didn't want to be there.
And got there, and here's this shot, and I'm here. Like, let me drink it. Like, I might kill you. I'm going home to go to bed and have a sandwich, jeez, a bologna sandwich and some crackers.
Damn.
I got to be honest, when Belichick was up there doing his piece or doing his jokes, like once guys laughed a little bit, he was like, oh, and they think I'm funny. All right, I'm going to say another one. Like they think
he's
I'm,
awkward. They,
yeah, he's so awkward, dude. Awkward. I mean, all the stuff that people had said about him in regards to how he was as a coach. And I think the person who put it the most articulate was Brian Hoyer. And he talked about the like mental makeup of Belichick and how, you know, in a hallway, it was rumored at times and there was reports that, you know, one day Bill Belichick would walk by, say hi, and then the next day he would act like he didn't even know you. He'd walk right past you, didn't say anything. And I thought Brian Hoyer described it the best, saying that, like, this guy is so deep in his own thoughts, he doesn't even recognize or register someone's there. Like, he's in a different world. And it's like he just thought of something. He's going back to his office to you know, write it down, draw it up, watch film, to look at it. And he's so, like, caught up in his own brain. He's like that beautiful mind that he can't even register, like, another human being on the way, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
And like, watching that roast, I was like, oh, yeah, there's, like, a lot of beautiful mind there with Bill Belichick. It was just so awkward. Oh man, I'm sorry. I just
I love him.
Something about it. Like it made me love him, but it made me understand him too, which was maybe part of it.
I was just like, "There's the body. There's a body. There is a body."
Be sure to catch live editions of Two Pros and a Cup of Joe with Brady Quinn, LeVar Arrington, and Jonas Knox weekdays at 6 a.m. Eastern, 3 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
Hey, I'm Doug Gottlieb. The podcast is called All Ball. We usually talk all basketball all the time, but it's more about the stories about what made these people love their sport and all the interesting interactions along the way. We talk to coaches. We talk to players. We tell you stories. You download it. You listen to it. I think you'll like it. Listen to All Ball with Doug Gottlieb on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This episode is brought to you by Huggies Little Movers. Listen, Huggies knows that babies come in all shapes and sizes, and so do their tushies, especially when they start really moving. Huggies has more curves and outstanding active fit. So no matter what kind of mover you've got, they feel protected and comfy while their little tushy wiggles and jiggles all around. Huggies Little Movers has curves designed to fit all baby curves and helps provide up to 12-hour protection against leaks. So make the switch to Huggies Little Movers today. We got you, baby.
Hey, it's Jonas Knox. O'Reilly Auto Parts. Come on, you know it. O'Reilly, who are in the business of keeping your car on the road. O'Reilly Auto Parts offer friendly, helpful service and the parts knowledge you need for all your maintenance and repairs. The team at O'Reilly Auto Parts can test your battery for free in or out of your car. If it needs to be replaced, they'll help you find just the right battery for your vehicle. Don't ignore your check engine light. Ask for O'Reilly Veriscan today, a free diagnostic service exclusively at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Need your windshield wipers replaced, a brake light fix, or a quick service? They'll help you find the right part or point you to the nearest local repair shop for help. The professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts are your one-stop shop for all things auto. Do it yourself, and you can find what you need in-store or online. Stop by O'Reilly Auto Parts today or visit us at O'ReillyAuto.com/2pros. That's O'ReillyAuto.com/2pros.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
So it is going to be a fun watch later on tonight on TNT, game two between the Knicks and the Pacers. And I know the officiating was poor, but I have a feeling the language is going to be poor at MSG because Reggie Miller will be on the call for TNT, and he is expecting and hoping that the Knicks fans let him have it for the rivalry they had back in the day. So that's going to be a fun watch. I can't remember the last time the broadcaster has turned into one of the biggest storylines going into a game, but that's going to be a lot of fun, man, because MSG is going to be rocking.
Can I be honest, though, as far as the fans that are there, I think I was probably 10 or 11 when that game occurred, and I'm almost 40.
Dang.
So how many people who are there are really going to remember that game and look at Reggie Miller as a villain? I think most young people at least probably look at him as a broadcaster or a guy who's a Hall of Famer, but you know, they don't probably recall that specific game or match, right?
Yeah. Although
that match.
I think that
that's a soccer talk I'm still trying to get out.
I think that they've done a pretty good job, the Knicks have, because they're showing like John Starks is in attendance. Like
they don't know
sure.
who John Starks is.
Yeah, I mean, yeah,
that Stephon Marbury was right there when they don't know who he is.
Damn.
You don't. I mean, also say Marbury was after him, and yeah. You should know him. That's Jonas, though. Jonas kind of lives more old school like that.
Look, I think you should appreciate who came before you.
And I agree.
They've done a good job of doing that.
We all agree, but I think you're also blind to the fact that like most young people don't see it that way.
And don't care.
Well, then get your ass back on the subway and go home and watch it. Give the tickets up to real fans who want to harken back to the good old days.
But they would tell you, I am a real fan watching my team in real life. Like, and then I'm
a
fan of Bronson. Like,
advanced analytics. Bunch of advanced analytics to go along with that.
Right. Right. So, yeah, you know, I don't know. But, I mean, these kids these days, it's just all about recency. Like, recent. Like, yeah. If it's not recent, they don't know. I told you guys the other week, I was walking down the All-American Hall in at the Penn State football office, at the building. And one of the players was walking down the hall, and he was looking at the pictures. And I was like, how many of them dudes you know up there? And then he backed up. He backed all the way up to where Saquon and Micah were. And he was like, yeah, I know these guys right here. I was like, dang. I was like, you don't know the wall? He's like, not really. I was like, you should know the wall. I said, you might be walking down the hall one day and end up bumping into one of them dudes that's just on the wall. I said, you know your history. I said, aren't you trying to get on this wall? He said, absolutely, I'm trying to get on the wall. I said, well, don't you want people to respect the fact that you're on the wall once you get on it? Yeah. They just don't pay attention. You know, the attention isn't there to it. So
I think it's in part because, like, there's no appreciation for history. You know, history tends to have ways of repeating itself. And for a lot of older generations, you know, they understand history. They've read about history. They see the cycles of things that recycle over and over and over again. And that's a problem. Like, it's a problem for, you know, my kids and trying to, like, teach them about our heritage and different things that should matter to them so they understand the meaning behind them. Like, I mean, look, there's a lot of crazy, you know, things going on right now in today's world, but I just feel like there's an overall lack of appreciation for history and an understanding for it and really, like, what it means. Because eventually, like, you're like, oh, well, that doesn't apply now. It's 2024. Life's so different. No, it still does. Like, there's still many things that you can apply, maybe not directly, but indirectly to, like, what's taking place today, or if you're an athlete, how you're trying to get to a certain spot, the same way another guy, you know, had to work and train to get to the spot that he was at.
I think what I'm going to do when my kid gets old enough, just buy him a pager. Figure it out, buddy. I don't know what to tell you. You're not getting a phone. Figure it out. You got to learn how we had to live back in the day, where if you wanted to get in touch with somebody, you got to just send them your number, and then you got to find a phone and then call them. Might just do that. Make him learn the rough way.
So he's got to use a payphone, of some sort? Yeah.
Figure it out.
I was going to say that actually would have been the better deal is don't give him anything. Make him go find a payphone.
Like, how many payphones? I would love to. There's got to be a website where they have payphones listed. I'm not talking about those on the highway, those yellow boxes that you can
like
dial.
Like a real payphone.
Yeah, like a real old school payphone.
Yeah, they ripped them all out.
There's got to be a few left. There's still got to be some relics out there. By the way, did you guys hear, and I wanted to get your thoughts on this, because I know some people got really bent out of shape. I know Chris Long was one of those people that got really bent out of shape. A lot of people got hot on social media because Austin Rivers was on the Pat McAfee show starring AJ Hawk. And
dude, there are some people who fired some shots at Austin. Yeah. Too, by the way.
And he had this to say when comparing the NFL to the NBA.
We got to get you outside of that football lane, man. Where the guaranteed contracts are, where the best athletes in the world are. That's us. I could take 30 players right now in the NBA and throw them in the NFL. You cannot take 30 NFL players and put them in the NBA.
Whoa. Oh, it's because you're only allowed five on the court. Let's all relax.
It's because you get a break every play. All you got to do is catch the ball and run north or south.
Listen, our sport.
It ain't complex.
I mean, I'm with him. Uh-huh. I mean, I'm going to side with the NBA here.
I'll say this. Like, he's not entirely wrong. Like, there's probably some guys who could play tight end, wide receiver, DB. But, like, here's honestly why I think a guy like Austin Rivers feels this way. This is what the league's done. They've made this sport, all right? They've made this sport soft to the point where, like, NBA players think that they could go in there and deal with that. Like, that's the truth is, like, I would bet back in the day, and LeVar, I'm not trying to, like, make you look like you played that much, you know, further ahead of me, but even when I got in the league, from when you were in the league, like, there was changes in all of that. But, like, they don't allow hits like LeVar used to do back in the day.
They don't.
And I'll promise you this. If NBA players are still watching that, they would probably have a different opinion. And look, maybe I'm wrong because back then when LeVar was playing, the NBA was playing a different style of game.
That's true.
Like, these young cats now wouldn't last in the league because they'd be getting knocked around by guys like Charles Oakley.
Yep.
So I think it's honestly the fact that the NFL game has gotten to a point where dudes really think, like, because the NBA game is about skill now. Like, it's not as physical as it used to be, and there's a bunch of reasons we can get into and why that is. But there's elements of that, too, with as spread out as it is in the NFL and the way the rules are created now, where you get less physicality. And so you get guys who don't know what that physicality is like, thinking they can walk into another league because they're a good athlete. So I'm not questioning as far as the athleticism. There's no doubt. Well, my question would be the toughest. There's no load management. When you take those hits, you got to take those hits. Like, how many of those guys getting, like, someone said the other day when we were talking about this, like, well, you know, NBA players, they don't really have pads and stuff. I go, yeah. I was like, there's a reason for that. You know, if you want to compare this to driving on the highway, right, all the games they played and the minutes they play, that's great, but it's not the same. You know, you'd be like, you know, you're talking about playing in the NFL where you're taking constant
car crashes versus sitting in a gridlocked highway for 4 hours. And that's just an apples to oranges comparison. So again, they've got great athletes, but the physicality to me is why I think we even have someone say something like this or lack thereof.
I just think it's interesting because most dope football players, while in high school, get recruited. The recruiters come to see them play two sports outside of football. It's basketball and track.
Yep.
They'll come recruit you based off of how you play basketball and how you perform in track, whether it be shot put, discus, the 100 meters, the 200 meters, whatever that is, they're basing their thought process off of that. So for him to say that, I thought it was more of an ignorant comment. It was just like it was cap. Like it wasn't like – it wasn't – I don't even know that he believed that. I really – he was right about guaranteed contracts and stuff like that. Like 100% get with him on that. They have a whole lot more freedom. There's a whole lot more flexibility in basketball. You do have to play offense and defense in basketball, so you have to translate different skills. But I'll say this, me being a basketball player, because I was a basketball player first, and my trajectory was in basketball. You F around and find out when you – like there's dudes that play football that are basketball players. So in essence, when you're saying a football player wouldn't be able to play basketball, it's not true because you're playing football and nobody knows you as a basketball player, but you probably there's probably a ton and I mean a ton of guys that are playing football that were very, very gifted playing basketball and could be like they could be in a rotation. They could be in the rotation of somebody's team in the NBA. Make no mistake about it. And maybe not, you know, maybe not a superstar, but maybe so. You just never know. I think the best athletes, honestly, I think the best athletes play football. I really do. I've seen 300-plus pound dudes do splits, backflips, tumble, all kinds of different things that you would not believe they're capable of doing. It's like the grizzly bear versus, you know, a cheetah or something like that, right? Like I could see that cheetah is fast, but you ain't realize that grizzly bear can run fast as hell, too. They get up to 30 miles per hour when they run. You see that bear walking down the street? I always say, you see that bear walking down the street? You see that tiger walking down the street? That lion walking down the street? He looks so docile. He looks like, look at that fat ass bear walking down the street, like da da da. All right, mess around and find out. Like that's what I would say to that statement that basketball players could go in. Sure. Put a basketball player at wide receiver, because even if I'm saying put a green and a basketball player that's never played football on a football field to play tight end, they're not making it. They're not making it in there. They're not making it unless you split him out. They're not making it. So unless you're talking about putting a basketball player at receiver, that's really the only position that I could honestly say you could justify, yep, he could transition from being that to this. Like they were talking about the kid that played for NC State this year, the big thick dude that's like 300 pounds and he's like 6'7", 6'8", or whatever it is. And they're like, if it doesn't work out for him in basketball, like send him on over to football. It would take a really long time for that young man to acclimate and understand what it would need to be for him to be a tackle in the National Football League. It would take a ton of time and a tremendous learning curve, and not to mention he would have to figure out how to handle the physicality of what takes place in football. It's just not as simple as, oh, they're great athletes. They can run, jump, and dunk and shoot three-pointers and dribble through their legs and their footwork and all this other stuff. It's a very different approach, a very different way of how things work in football. So while I'm not going to diminish how athletic you have to be playing basketball and how athletic that game and that sport is and how diverse it is and the things you have to do, football is equally diverse even by position. by position. Like, we're not just talking like running up and down a court and running and all that. And like he said, you run, you stop, you try to run the ball. Like, there's people dumb down what football is, but it is a very complex, it's a very intricate game. And that's why you'll never hear anybody militarily refer to basketball in the military. You know what military refers to? Football. You know what football refers to? The military. Because it's much more grueling, it's a much more sophisticated approach to what's taking place than pretty much any other sport.
Well, I couldn't do either, so you juice heads can argue about that all you want.
Dang.
Yeah. I just stand on the outside looking at everything.
Capri Suns. Y'all saw my boy Chop drinking his Capri Sun while he was waiting to get drafted.
Oh, are those back?
Now, does
he pop the straw on the top or just go bottom pouch? Because sometimes it's easier just to pop the Capri Sun straw on the bottom of the pouch as opposed to trying to line it up in that hole in the top. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Just squeeze it, do one little squeeze, and then you're good. Also, cherry is the best Capri Sun flavor in my mind.
I like the citrus one. Personally.
Do you?
Yeah. Citrus is my favorite.
By the way, there's no way those things are good for you. There's just no possible way. I mean, you could leave those in a box in a bomb shelter for 30 years and then open them back up and they taste exactly the same. Just doesn't feel like it would be good. Lee, which is your Capri Sun flavor of choice? You had to go with one.
Tropical Punch.
Okay.
Oh, wow. All over the board here.
Yeah. I think sometimes they call it Tropical Tide.
Fair.
It's been a long time.
Yeah.
Long time.
Fair. Hmm. Yeah, well, okay. Get yourself a Capri Sun because apparently... Has he got a sponsorship?
He should get one after that.
Yeah.
He should get one.
Be sure to catch live editions of Two Pros and a Cup of Joe with Brady Quinn, LeVar Arrington, and Jonas Knox weekdays at 6 a.m. Eastern, 3 a.m. Pacific.
This episode is brought to you by Huggies Little Movers. Listen, Huggies knows that babies come in all shapes and sizes, and so do their tushies, especially when they start really moving. Huggies has more curves and outstanding active fit, so no matter what kind of mover you've got, they feel protected and comfy while their little tushy wiggles and jiggles all around. Huggies Little Movers has curves designed to fit all baby curves and helps provide up to 12-hour protection against leaks. So make the switch to Huggies Little Movers today. We got you, baby.
Hey, it's Jonas Knox. O'Reilly Auto Parts. Come on, you know it. O'Reilly, who are in the business of keeping your car on the road. O'Reilly Auto Parts offer friendly, helpful service and the parts knowledge you need for all your maintenance and repairs. The team at O'Reilly Auto Parts can test your battery for free in or out of your car. If it needs to be replaced, they'll help you find just the right battery for your vehicle. Don't ignore your check engine light. Ask for O'Reilly Veriscan today, a free diagnostic service exclusively at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Need your windshield wipers replaced, a brake light fix, or a quick service? They'll help you find the right part or point you to the nearest local repair shop for help. The professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts are your one-stop shop for all things auto. Do it yourself, and you can find what you need in-store or online. Stop by O'Reilly Auto Parts today or visit us at O'ReillyAuto.com/2pros. That's O'ReillyAuto.com/2pros.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
Right now, he's the old P on Twitter. He is Petros Papadakis. He is the co-host of the Petros and Money Show, which you can hear on The Blowtorch, AM 570 LA Sports, a college football analyst for Fox, and our good buddy. Petros, what's happening? Good morning.
Hello, good morning. Hello.
Hello.
The old P.
Hi, old P.
Petros, your thoughts on Austin Rivers making the comparison between NBA and NFL players and saying that he could find 30 NBA players to play in the NFL right now. How does that
30
land?
Guys to get broke the F off.
That's it. That was it. Drop the mic.
Look, where should we start?
is there even one guy in the NBA who could be, quote-unquote, thrown into the NFL? And anybody who suggests LeBron, LeBron doesn't want to get hit, and his football window closed at 29-30. I mean, Tony Gonzalez and Antonio Gates and Julius Peppers were football players first, and they moonlighted in basketball, and they were like clodhoppers on the basketball court, and they were great football players and graceful and ballet-like. Jimmy Graham was a college basketball player who played his first organized football, I think, as a fifth-year senior in college. And he tried football because he was only scoring 5 points per game in the NBA. Or, you know, in the college. He had no NBA future. So where are these 30 guys? Which guy is one of your 30 guys, Austin? Who could do it? Who's going to put their hand in the ground and put a helmet on and get bonked around? Listen, basketball players are amazing athletes.
Yep.
The NBA players are probably the best athletes, top to bottom, in the world. And I never thought this growing up. I mean, obviously, I grew up thinking Michael Jordan's the greatest player of all time and all that. But until you get onto an NBA court and watch NBA players, like, really up close, you really get an idea for, A, it's a very physical game compared to what you thought, if you're right down there and the way they, even during the regular season. And B, there's no fat on these guys. Like, there's nothing to their bodies. You know, if an NBA player has a gut, it's news. Like James Harden, right? I mean, they go up and down the court, up and down, up and down. And they also go up and down like pogo sticks. It's not the first jump a lot of the time that's impressive. It's the second jump or the third. And I was really impressed by it. And I was really also impressed by their ability to fight through fatigue, right? Just to go up and just burn it all out, like a hockey shift kind of thing. But toughness, as far as being physically bludgeoned, no. They'd all be broken. They don't have the sand in their ass. So Austin Reeves, like, and he was a tough,
it's tough-minded. Austin Rivers, right?
Yeah, Austin Rivers, yeah, sorry. Yeah. Austin Reeves is another.
But that proves the point.
Yeah, Austin Reeves would get broke. Austin Rivers was a tough guy when he played, right? Remember, he got hit in the face and he was bleeding at the end of that playoff game or whatever. He's a tough guy. He was a great basketball player in high school and college, right? It's not fair to compare him to Bronny James or anything like that. He was quite literally an All-American, legitimately. But this is... I mean, these guys say this stuff, so everybody's got to react to it.
Right.
And I feel so stupid because, you know, you fall right into the trap of reaction. But you guys asked me about it. So, you know, where's the 30 guys? Where's who do we got? Who's number one?
Right.
Who's number one to get broke off?
Because to that point, though, like when I hear a player like that say that, And especially a guy who's a little younger.
We had those guys at USC on the basketball team.
Sure,
They were like 10 games under 500 and be like, oh, we could do what y'all do. It's like, okay, come on out then.
Right.
Come and do our 40-play run drill, a-hole.
Does some of it have to do with the fact that they look at the NFL now and they don't see the vicious types of hits and plays that it used to be? Like I mean,
suppose they don't see them. They don't see the dues being paid physically in their most extreme way, right? But those dues are still paid. You just don't, you know, we don't have the, you got effed up, you know, and all that. But you're right, yeah. Brady. I mean, you know, and I'll take it from you because of your linebacker and tight end neck roll days in high school.
Thank you.
But, I mean, what the rules we used to play under are not the rules we play under now. And obviously you guys speak to that better than I can. But we don't play under those rules. I get that, but you're still not getting off the line of scrimmage. You know, Mr. 6'7" is not getting off the line of scrimmage at all, ever. And you know, part of the whole physical playing in the box and outside the box and all that stuff, we've talked about this before. But there's a reason that wide receivers and DBs talk to each other the way they do. Because they don't pay their dues the same way. And I'm, when I say DBs, I mean corners and nickel corners and guys like that. You know, not your Troy Polamalu, Steve Atwater types. But they could talk like that and act like a-holes like that and taunt each other like that. Even more so now because the rules have changed so dramatically. Inside the box, everybody knows they're going to get got. And talking like that is not helpful, to me, at least. So there are different nuances of how you get beat up as a football player as well. And all these guys think they're going to play out on the edge. Anyway. If it was up to me, I'd get rid of all the wide receivers. I'd just go like Jim Harbaugh and play with four tight ends.
There you go. Makes a ton of sense.
I'd make an extra tight end, one of the O-linemen, and then three other tight ends. One of them's like a fullback type.
So
that's it. Abolish the position.
Somebody also threw up football players and basketball players wouldn't be able to play baseball, and that baseball is this and that. To me, I would say that's more so more relevant. You're not going to just throw somebody on a pitcher's mound, or you're not going to just go up and hit a fastball. Yeah. That's a 90-mile-per-hour fastball.
That's a hand-eye thing, right? We all think about right. Michael Jordan and that image of him striking out, looking all long and gangly and goofy on a baseball right. field. Blah, blah, you know, and that was it was heartbreaking for us. I mean, when you're a kid, and it's not like, I mean, I loved Michael Jordan, but I'm not from Chicago or anything like that. I was just another front runner like every other American white kid or whatever in suburbia. And Michael Jordan never missed. I mean, he never lost. He lost those series before he started winning the finals. The one he beat the Lakers in the early 90s was how it started. But like, it was really humiliating to see Michael Jordan try to do something else and fail so miserably. I mean, it was an innocence lost moment for a lot of America's youth when he was out there striking out like, oh, no, you know. But baseball is a double-sided cutlass as well, right? Because in baseball, you have to be separated hand-eye coordination-wise pretty early. And then you have to develop whatever kind of power if you're a hitter. And there's some stories out there, like Evan Longoria and guys like that. They're few and far between, but, you know, guys that were not big prospects, J.C. Rout, minor leagues, and then suddenly they become pretty special. But baseball players, I think they get identified pretty young, and it's a really difficult road. And what's funny to me is, you know, where I live, it's a relatively affluent area, and it's a bunch of just guys that have kids that are just really average looking white kids. Hmm. And
maybe the ones that get you though.
But they do, but the fact that every one of these dads, because the kid can't pass the eyeball test as a football or basketball player, and that is the difference with football and basketball. If you're an elite 16-year-old football player and you walk in to the room looking like Edward Grimley or something, people are not going to believe you're a football player. Baseball, you could look like a dork and be a great baseball player, or not physically imposing. You know, Mookie Betts is not a big guy.
Right.
Trey Turner's not a big guy.
You can walk past them and not even know who they are.
Some of them, yeah. You know, I mean, Pedroia, you know, these guys that come to mind, David Eckstein, you know, overachiever guys. All of these stupid-ass rich dads think that their son is that one guy. Mm. And the truth is, he's not. There's some dude in the Dominican with a milk carton for a glove that's that guy. But, you know, buy your son a $1,500 bat, you know, play 300 days a year, spend all your weekends in Lancaster and Bakersfield, and just die on the vine. And by the time your kid's 12 and he gets the first scent of a female's attraction, he's going to throw the bat into the pool.
The
you know,
scent.
He's going to throw his $2,000 composite bat into your jacuzzi. You know, I know that
but
it's
hard. Mizuno.
Yeah, oh, God. The whole youth sports thing is amazing because most of it, even at the AAU level where guys are competing for scholarships, is a scam made to fleece the parents and ruin everybody's weekend and have people not learn to be children. And my message is this: just because you can play all year does not mean you should. right? You know, I mean, baseball, that the one great thing about football, and in a perfect world, I'm quite aware, even if the rules have changed, that in a perfect world, football would not exist. But the one great thing about football, at least, is at the end of the season, they take our pads and we don't go play all year long. We can't. You know, you never play football again when you're done playing football. You don't hire a ref and a chain gang and go to camp for 2 weeks and buy uniforms and rent out a communication equipment for the booth on the side. I mean, you just don't do it. And these other sports are different. And I think people become more delusional the more they play.
Hey, Petros, who's in a worse spot, the Lakers or the Clippers right now?
Can I punt? We're Elimination Nation here in
LA. I was going to say.
The Clippers are out because the Charles Barkley line was great. You know, I've been rich, I've been poor, I've been fat, I've been skinny. The Clippers have always sucked.
Dang.
He's right.
He is right.
You know, and I kind of like the Clippers over the years, but he's right. And I really just like the Clippers more because I despise the Lakers. But that doesn't mean I like the Clippers. Anyway, they're both done. I mean, the Lakers are being shadow run by LeBron. He's laying low because he just fired his sixth coach in his NBA career. I believe his fourth.
Was that just? I mean, you follow the Lakers probably even closer than we do. I mean, was that warranted?
No. I mean, well, why was he hired in the first place? I mean, look, I can't. I'm not Nick Wright, the Squidward nose guy on TV who talks about this like constantly. But isn't it pretty clear to everybody that it's not that cool to be around LeBron? He gets you fired. And if you have success, it's because he's great. And if you don't, it's your fault. I mean, players, coaches, who wants to be around that? You know, and J.J. Redick, perhaps the most condescending, dogmatic person in the history of television, is going to somehow come to the Lakers and talk down to these guys and never have coached before. I mean, and do a podcast with LeBron talking about wine. I mean, I guess financially it helps them just to sell the whole thing to LeBron and not have to run your franchise for as long as Clutch Sports is sitting in the chair there. But it certainly is an ugly look from the outside, even with all the LeBron minions and the media running around and trying to help him. He just fired a coach, so he's not going to do anything for attention for another 5 or 6 days. But his head will pop up again, and you know he'll be doing some wine tasting or something about for attention, like he always does. The Clippers have a new stadium opening up in Inglewood.
Yeah.
With a bunch of toilets. American Standard Stadium. Or arena, excuse me. The Kings just got swept or blown out of the playoffs by the Edmonton Oilers. So they're all drunk running around the South Bay right now.
Sweet.
Are they at that bar?
Well, Critters.
Yeah, Manhattan Beach. They're
the Manhattan Beach one, right?
No, it's the bar. Oh, the Strand, please. The bar that the hockey guys hang out with is it's a dive bar, and it's on it's in Hermosa, right on the border of Hermosa and Manhattan.
That's where they party.
When I was a kid, it used to be called Critters, but now it's called North End, is in the north end of Hermosa. And it's really close to the old 90210 house on the beach where the girls lived when they were in college. Hmm. If you remember that.
It's a sweet spot, P. You should do a remote from there, you and Matt.
At Critters?
At North End, or Critters, whatever
you want. Yeah, I mean, it's a dive bar. It's not offensive, like the Strand House, which is offensive.
Hmm. Strand House is awesome.
It's all douchebags, LeVar.
Dang. Am I a D-bag?
No, you're an anomaly from out of town.
Oh, okay.
That's you know, good. You show up, and it's like, hey, there's LeVar Arrington. See if he wants to play pickleball with us.
No, I don't do pickleball. That would make me a D-bag if I did pickleball. I don't play pickleball. So.
Send some of the octopus tempura over to LeVar's table.
It's really good. They got some really good food there, P.
I know. I don't go to Manhattan Beach anymore, LeVar. You know why?
Why?
Because I'm from here.
I get it. Yeah. I was just at Bill's the other day.
I understand.
Does that get tough living
Uncle
in a place
Bill's?
Where you're from?
Yeah, I was at Uncle Bill's.
Uncle Bill's has an old Papadakis Taverna plate on the wall from my dad's old restaurant.
Oh, no kidding.
Huh. Yeah. Nice. Nice.
Yeah, he's Greek.
Is that the one OJ autographed?
Oh, wow. Why?
You know, we didn't collect OJ's autographs.
Okay.
Some of his exes.
Yikes.
That's fair. Yes. Pete,
Dad, why did OJ go to the bathroom 20 times during dinner? Shut up.
Had to get a little bump.
What's he doing in the bathroom with Jim Lampley? Shut your mouth.
Had to get a little bump. Had to get a little bump.
Well,
you guys want to do a gummer or what?
Well, listen, P, the Dodgers are back. They're rolling.
Yes.
Everybody's excited. And they just had Star Wars night and intentionally, as you laid out on the radio, did it on a Monday because why spoil a Star Wars night when there's an actual good team in town?
Yeah, they had it Saturday, right?
Yeah, well, they had it. Didn't they have it?
Oh, no, Sunday, May the 5th was Cinco de Mayo, so they had the Braves in town, big series, weekend, everybody's there. So they did Star Wars night on Monday night.
Because
the fish came into town, yeah.
Brady's Marlins.
But some are saying that that's, you know, the revenge of the sixth.
Was that where Chisholm hit on the very first pitch a home run? Was that game?
Was it against Bueller?
Against the Dodgers.
Walker Bueller's back, and Ohtani is the best hitter in the world. I will say this without being sarcastic and annoying like normal. The Dodgers are always this way. They're always front-running and 7,000 games ahead. And it's been this way. They get to the playoffs and lose in the first round. Very frustrating. But the year is like a huge, like, giant boner parade the entire season. But this is an extra priapism this year because of the first three guys in the lineup. That is, I got to admit, watching the games living here, that is fun to watch. When you have Betts come up, and then Ohtani, and then Freeman, and then the rest of the guys are pretty good too, Will Smith and guys like that, pretty darn impressive to watch night in and night out. I'll say that.
Well, you're pretty impressive, P. At the old P on Twitter.
Only because it's early. You guys are easily impressed.
No, listen, you're
arguing. Hey, how was that Kentucky Derby?
I didn't say it, though, P. I wasn't agreeing with Jonas. I was just listening.
Appreciate you.
But you are my guy, though. You
know? How was that Kentucky Derby guy I got bumped for last week? I heard he was a real stiff.
Yeah, Lee. It was Art Rooney's grandson.
Yeah. Well, who's coming on next week?
I don't know. Ask Lee.
Rooney Mara?
Yeah. P, we appreciate it. We'll do it again next week. Wednesday is your day. We promise. We won't let Lee steer us away from that.
Tell him to keep farting up a storm.
Yeah, there it is.
This episode is brought to you by Huggies Little Movers. Listen, Huggies knows that babies come in all shapes and sizes, and so do their tushies, especially when they start really moving. Huggies has more curves and outstanding active fit, so no matter what kind of mover you've got, they feel protected and comfy while their little tushy wiggles and jiggles all around. Huggies Little Movers has curves designed to fit all baby curves and helps provide up to 12-hour protection against leaks. So make the switch to Huggies Little Movers today. We got you, baby.
Oh, oh, oh. O'Reilly.
Check engine light on? Take the guesswork out of your check engine light with O'Reilly Veriscan. It's free and provides a report with solutions based on over 650 million vehicle scans verified by ASE certified master technicians. And if you need help, we can recommend a shop for you. Ask for O'Reilly Veriscan today.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.